You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome to Journeys with JP, with your host, JP, me, JP, this is who I am. And, well, you just heard me on Sean's show being the producer, now I'm the host. So I've got to be somehow different. And, let's do some announcey things first. First of all, let's talk about the Revolution Radio support thing. So do come along to the support zone, and I recommend the CPAC because that benefits everybody and is all good stuff. If you're interested, you could buy some seeds for another Revolution Radio host so that they can start their thing. You know, we don't get paid for this. We don't get any benefits and dividends from it at all. So, If you're interested, you could send a seed pack to Mr. Rowe, because he might want to plant a garden one day and grow his own vegetables. So,
grow
in rows your carrots. Let's see.
grow,
Mr. Rowe. How are you?
I'm good, JP. How are you?
Mr. Team Strange. I'm the weirdest I've ever been, I have to say. Like, all sorts of weird body symptoms have been happening to me sort of for the last week. And, I'm either going to die or I'm going to transform. It's like, I think
I've been feeling some weird feelings myself. Not really dizziness or lightheadedness, but I think it's, people talk about, that we're going through a different part of space, or that we collectively are progressing, you know, into a higher form of consciousness. And I think there is something to it. I think some of us, it's an enjoyable experience. Things are going well. But I think for some others, it's a new thing, and people just don't know, you know, what to make of it. A lot of people that are, you know, in the mainstream and just sort of, you know, not really into the things that people that listen to this station are it's like waking somebody up out of a slumber. And they got to get adjusted. Excuse me. So, but I think it has something to do with that. Just an overall shift, elevation in our collective consciousness. That's my
certainly, opinion. Certainly. But I mean, I'm talking real bodily symptoms. Like you say, you know, you were saying, you know, mild dizziness. I got really like, you know, like in the Matrix when the whole reality just goes, you know, and the whole, you know, all the walls buckle inwards and outwards for a second. You know, there's been moments a little like that.
Well, that may be part of it.
Either that or I'm going to have a stroke.
I hope not.
I'm not kidding. You know, people have had this thing. My brother-in-law had a mini stroke the other day, whatever that might be. Sounds quite a nice thing. But no, it wasn't nice, and he did end up in hospital, but he seems to be unaffected by it. But it's like there's an increased pressure. It's like a ratcheting up of a valve that is increasing the pressure on the inside to push. Like, we can't hold it in anymore. People aren't able to hold what is inside in anymore. The membranes are breaking down. And so what was in is now coming out, whatever it was.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. Definitely.
So, now tell me, today you had a ghost. You had a ghost today. No, you had.
Ooh,
a...
You know, you remind me. Actually,
yes,
you're right.
What was in? Who is in? And right. Who is out? So tell me.
before I get to that, you just reminded me of something. Last night I was up fairly late for whatever reason. It was around
Netflix and chill. You had Doritos, I know.
No, it was around, I was actually listening to the roundtables and things and all that, but it was around 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was sitting here at the computer, and I was just about getting ready to wind down and go ahead and go to sleep, and I caught out of my left side a pretty clear visual sighting of a shadow person going through my wall, coming in from the front and passing through into the hallway. At first, I saw it, and it didn't register. And then I looked where I saw it, and then I thought to myself, because I thought, oh, it's a shadow of, like, you know, maybe a car passing by. Well, wait a minute, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. There's no shadows. There's nothing moving around. And then I got that weird feeling, and my cat was kind of sitting there staring at the corner as well. And I put two and two together, and I thought, yeah, something just went through here.
I need a cat.
I can feel it.
I need a cat. Yeah. You know, cause I got no one to bounce these things off. Yeah, here I am on my own. And all I have is like, did I just see that or am I just hallucinating? But yeah, do you know what it's feeling like? It's as if the bandwidth of our frequency band is expanding. And it's impinging on the band. It's touching. It's like the next channel along. And we're now starting to see the bleed over, what we used to call bleed over. You could hear the next channel as it goes. But if it was in a reality situation, we may see them as shadow beings in some sort of, they're like on a different octave, or they're between. Yeah. What does Sean say? To dance between the raindrops. Yeah. And I think it's, you know, like slices of reality. Reality comes in slices. It's not a continuous liquid thing.
Well, and I've had a lot of experience with shadow people, especially the Hat Man. I used to be visited every night when I was a child, and the Hat Man would push me out of my body, and I'd see myself standing there, and then I'd feel the pull in my abdomen being snapped back into my body. And it was never a scary experience, but that thing has been with me all my life, and it's followed me through dreams.
But look at you. Look at this. I'm looking at your avatar.
That's it. Right,
that's
there.
It. Yeah. You know, your avatar is a shadow of a guy in an overcoat and a hat.
Yeah, and that's pretty
I mean,
much...
it's a bit... when you come on, you know what I mean? And, you know, it just makes you feel a bit... sometimes...
Yeah. So this week is kind of like the supernatural week for the row. And, I did want to come on real quick to, promote a special show. It's actually not at my regular time. It's going to be on my regular day, which is Thursday evening this week. Pacific time, it'll be at 11 p.m. So it's right after, Ground Control with Major Tom and Keith, Arizona. And I'm going to have a special show with my guest for 2 hours with Keith Andrews. And he is pretty much a very astute and expert on a lot of different subjects, anything from psychic medium, mystical connections to alien races, secret space program. And these are some of the things we're going to talk about. Specifically, we're going to speak about the secret space program, some of the alien races, the Hollow Earth, and beyond. We will, I will welcome, questions from the, audience via, Skype. We'll decide. We may take phone calls but definitely we'll take questions out of chat, Skype. So I just wanted to promote that 11 p.m. on Thursday evening Pacific time, Studio A. I will have Keith Andrews, who he also goes on SOR, Spaced Out Radio. Dave Scott has him on periodically. So if you've ever heard him, you know that it's a very interesting show, a very interesting guest.
So there you go, Thursday. So what time is it? That just flew by me. You're normally at 5.
Yeah, it'll be,
you're normally in this slot here.
2300 hours Pacific time. That's
23
11
Pacific. God, nobody's going to be awake then, I'll tell you. It's only the
well, yeah,
the night
so what
birds.
I may do, because see, he works, so that's why we had to schedule late. What I may do is I may actually replay the show on my next week's.
Yeah, that sounds like a good move.
But I definitely wanted to give folks a chance to have a live interaction, you know, with questions and things. So, cause I thought about doing a pre-record, but when we do a pre-record, there's no audience interaction. So it's just us.
Yeah. Sometimes it gives a more intimate feel to the interview and you can be a bit deeper without being interrupted. There are advantages and disadvantages, you know.
But, I did a pre-record with Math Powerland, who is the guy that did all that flat earth stuff. But, that was.
Oh, was he a sweary guy? Did you have to, censor, you know, like the bleeps?
No, he was just very, hard to nail down, and really couldn't commit to that specific time. So, and plus trying to get that interview, there were so many things that seemed to block that interview. We had to do like 4 or 5 takes, and finally, we were able to actually get the interview going, and that was one of the more controversial ones that I've done on this station. But yeah, I think that was the only pre-recorded interview I've done, for the station. I don't think there's any others.
All right. I did one a few months ago. I do the occasional pre-record, usually an hour long, and then, I do the second hour just kind of, freewheeling after that. But you had, you see, I haven't heard of this guy for years. You had Billy Fay today on your show. A nugget. You had, was that a pre-record as well? Talking of pre-records.
Yeah, that was an interview he did, a few years back. And, I have part two going tomorrow of that interview. Actually, there's about 4 hours worth, but I'm going to do, the first couple of hours at least. And, I actually had some good feedback. There was only one person that was like, what the hell are you doing? I'm disappointed. But the rest of everybody was like, well, this is interesting and different. And that's what I wanted to do. Most of my shows have been, especially in the daytime, have been either political or current events. And I thought, well, this week I'm just going to take a small break from the politic, and I'm going to veer a little bit into the Looking Glass and just, you know, mix it up a little bit. And see how that works out. And then, you know, next week probably return back to the political stuff. And I think we may have, I have to reconfirm, but I may have John Draper, who's Captain Crunch, on my Thursday show. We had him with Sean last
week. Oh, how did that go?
That went pretty good. I had a couple, it was interesting because I had one individual out there. He's like, I don't know, this guy's not impressing me. He just sounds like a bunch of blah, blah, blah. And then he started talking more and more, and I get a message. Oh, now he's starting to impress me. So, John Draper, which I have had the pleasure of meeting back in the 20th century at an old hacker meeting in San Francisco.
Oh, back in the 20th century. You can
say that now, and it's actually quite a long time ago. You know, kids have grown up. I know grown up kids who were just born in the 20th century. Like, you know.
Yeah. That's crazy. Or you know, kids that were.
I was 20 in the 20th century. You know, I remember those days.
I mean, I remember, let's see, cassette tapes. And I remember when you could actually get away with stuff because there weren't cameras and surveillance and no, not everybody had a camera phone. So you could actually get away with stuff.
Exactly. Well, you know how you do this there nowadays. You have, LEDs, you have some infrared LEDs. Embedded into the peak of your cap. And you can get them quite bright, but you can't see them. People can't see them, but they're infrared. So all the camera sees is this blare of these incredibly bright, you know, cause they're bright on the infrared, and the surveillance cameras are sensitive to it cause they like to see in the dark. So it works against them. So if you get this, clothing that, has lights that, illuminate your face, it just creates a great big glare like the moon.
Oh, good tip of the day.
Tip of the day. Yes. How to remain covert in this, increasingly, intrusive world. So Billy Fay was very interesting. We had him on Wolf Spirit Radio because, we discovered that Billy Fay lived in Nevada, quite close to where Dave Corso used to live. So,
Do you know he's going to be in March up in, Washington.
Is he?
They have, I want to say Free Your Mind. I don't know if it is the Free Your Mind, but there's a major conference that's going to be going up in Washington, and he is going to be one of the individuals there. In fact, maybe I can pull it up because I was actually,
you were considering going.
Yeah. And, I thought, well, gee, maybe I could rendezvous with Hijacker or something.
Yeah. Why not? And, go and see Mount Shasta.
Now, let's see. Maybe it's not Free Your Mind. I don't know. Let's see. No, that Free Your Mind's in Philadelphia, so maybe I can punch this in.
While you're doing that, I'll tell the story of Billy Fay. Dave discovered that Billy Fay lived in his town. So, through a bit of, he found out who he was and invited him over. And, anybody who remembers Dave remembers that Dave used to have all these wolves, like he had about 10 versions of wolf, from dog to wolf, all the way kind of like different grades of different ratios of wolf to dogness. And so he had all these different dogs, and plus from some other sort of like little Scotty dogs and all these little ones. So Billy Fay comes over and he's talking as himself. I've actually got one of his things.
Oh, I got it. It's Ted Mars or Mars. Yeah. Ted Mars, third annual 2017 Galactic Wisdom Conference.
Whoa. That sounds cool.
And they've got Ted Mar, Professor Gerald Pollack, fourth phase water. He's a PhD. We have the Dr. Emoto's top disciple, Sirichio Yoshinuchi, plus Emoto Peace Project director. They're also going to have Billy Woodward, who is reportedly a U.S. Air Force colonel.
This is who we're talking about, Billy Woodard. It's not Woodward. It's
Woodard. Woodard. I'm sorry, you're right. Woodard.
And he's
put that extra W in there.
Yeah, but it's Billy Fay, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Keep going.
And there's also going to be Simon Parks, Carolyn White, Ariana Garnett Schulhauser, Teresa Carroll, Greg Sullivan. A lot of these names I don't recognize.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie Holtz and Scott Mowry and Marge Sasek.
You're going to say Simpson. Sorry.
So the only thing that's keeping me from just getting my ticket now is the cost. And it's like over $200.
Plus accommodation. Yeah.
I'm probably not going to go. If it was a year out, I might, but it's so close, and $200 in a couple of months is to go up there just for a day or something. I'm like, I don't know. But, anyway, so yeah.
Okay. So meanwhile, back a few years ago, now, I want to show you this by camera. Nobody else can see this, but I'm just going to put my camera on. Can you see this? This thing here.
I see a circle. Oh, yeah, you got one.
This is it. This is his design. Yeah, I actually got it from a guy called Dale, who was like at the time working under license from him. And it's got, this is I'm wearing a copper headband. It's made of 1.5 mil, 1 mil copper. So it's firm, it's pretty firm. Yeah, it's not flimsy.
It's got
a sponge, inside, so it doesn't, it's not bad against your head, but there are metal contacts. I've given it metal contacts. And then there's a silver dollar, a silver dollar.
Now, yeah. I think his is a gold coin.
Yeah, you can do a gold one or a silver one.
And then you have like a quartz crystal.
And then there's a quartz crystal right in front of there that is, like, it's got a little, finger that holds it in.
And
like that.
What is this supposed to do? Is it a scale or dampener? Is it an amplifier?
It's an amplifier and focuser. It's a lens.
Okay. Because some of the people I've heard of that Billy Fay has actually let them wear his thing.
Yeah.
They say they don't want to give it back.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this is nice.
It's nice. Well, it feels nice.
They're
it
like,
does
I forget
nice.
About every, I forget about what I look like wearing this thing, and I don't want to take it off my head. That's what they say.
Yeah, you really don't care that you've got this kind of weird hippie band looking thing, which is why, here we are on the radio and nobody else can see it, but it does look a
because
bit kind
you,
of like.
You gotta admit, JP. If
when
you
the moon is in the seventh house,
You know, if you were to get on the bus wearing that, you'd probably get a few double takes.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you don't know Fintorn. Yeah. So, yeah, so Billy Fay. So Billy Fay comes into, Dave Corso's house and, you know, the dogs are kind of wandering, just doing their thing, you know. And you know what people say about dogs is that they, you know, they can see people's soul. And, you know, if a dog is cool with somebody, they're cool usually. And so he was doing the regular interview and then, he said, okay, right now my father wants to come through. And, Zora starts kind of pouring through and they go, oh, hello, young master, you know, sort of stuff. And all the dogs all went towards him and gathered around him. It was the strangest thing.
That's interesting.
Very interesting. Yeah. It was a kind of, yeah, this is kind of, that there is an energy there that is different from where, what it was. And it was fascinating. I spoke to him personally and, it was, quite an interesting experience to talk to somebody from the Hollow Earth. Yeah. As a kind of fifth dimensional contact. I don't know. Is it real? Is it not? But they seem to have a much more heavenly life than we do.
Yeah.
And they like it like that, and they don't like the turmoil and strife and chaos of the surface. That's not why they don't talk to us.
And yeah, I wouldn't blame them either. I mean, my goodness. So if any of you Hollow Earth type folks are out there and you can look inside my heart and my vibe and you, you know, I could use a little vacation. I mean, I'm willing to work if you want to put me to work down there in the Hollow Earth or be a liaison or, I mean, you know, if you need a Humi from the surface for whatever, even to just poke fun at or something, you know, let me know. yeah. So, I'm serious. I'm tired of the surface myself.
You know, all right, so let's dive off the deep end into the woo-woo, okay? Big pool of woo-woo. Because I have, for many years, had a kind of spirit life contact with you know, what I call my guides. my spirit guides, and, you know, one in particular. And, well, various of them, but one in particular is a sort of liaison. But some of the things that they've said... were that some of the people that my people are from are in the Hollow Earth and that there will be one day, the Hollow Earth will reveal itself and, I don't know what I can take this seriously or not, but they say that I'll be one of the first to go into the Hollow Earth because they're my people.
Well, that's good.
So, you want to come with?
Sure, yeah.
Be my huckleberry.
See, I've never had a direct, here it is, matter of fact information. I always get my sort of contact or information through, like, symbols or abstract dreams or, you know, weird flashes of memories or just something. Oh, it's always an indirect kind of thing with me.
And... yeah. It's
go ahead.
Well, have you heard of Lyra? Do you know the do you know the Lyra story?
No.
The idea that we're all Lyran, we're all like all humans.
Oh yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do know that one.
And essentially, there is a Lyran colony, and that's who they are.
In the
Hollow Earth, and they say, and Billy, and you know, no. All right, let's go. When I spoke to Zora, Zora gave me this information, is that they came from a planet, which is a roving planet called Lemur, which is one of the escape vehicles from Lyra. And so that's why they're the Lemurians, because they were in the ship called Lemur. It's like, say the ship, Titanic arrived on a shore, and that's the only people on the, you know, left, and they form a little civilization. They'd call it themselves the Titaniums or the Titans or something like that.
Titanica.
Yeah, the Titanicans. Yeah, exactly. Do you know Battlestar Galactica's pre-thing Caprica? You ever seen that?
Yeah.
I love the way they name their planets. Have you noticed?
Well, I like the name.
Caprica.
From Capricorn?
Yeah.
from the sort of the constellation kind of things.
Yeah, they've got the whole, all, you know, they've got 2 out of 12 planets that they talk about. But, you know, they, it's very obvious that they're, you know, named after the signs, Capricorn. I think the other one was Scorpio or Scorpia or something, you know. And it's like, all right, it's covered.
You know, I had a weird thought today. I saw something about the deluge, you know, the flood that supposedly occurs every, you know, few thousand years or so.
Yes.
And I was, something came into my head saying that the flood, was it caused by positioning of the moon? Like, did the deluge occur when the moon arrived? And was it like a side effect of getting the moon just right? They caused a little flood, but they got it down, and now it's, because you know how the moon affects the tides. And if it was a little further closer or a little further, it'd be a different story as far as our tides and how our oceans behave.
All right, let's take this out onto another level, right? Imagine that the water is there in space and our orbit twists its way through it every so often.
I was thinking about that as well, that literally it could have been an ocean from another, well, that's up there in space, a lot of water, yes. Whether it's from
a Do you know the story of Maldek?
Yeah, that it's possible that that water came from the oceans of, well, I guess some people call it Tiamat.
Yeah.
That other planet that used to be there.
That's right.
That was blown into asteroids.
Correct. Correct. That is now our asteroid belt. It's where, you know, the planet is where a planet should be, just there's pieces left. So it's like this is the aftermath of a destruction. And that was a Pleiadian operation to free this sector. It didn't quite go as planned. You're only supposed to blow the bloody base up. But anyway, it had the desired effect.
Well, yeah, that's supposedly they blew that up to get rid of what they thought was there. And then when they left, they put a quarantine around Earth because just in case there were some remnants left.
Yes, and they were.
Yeah.
And they were. And now they're being rounded up for the final time. This is the final moment of it. Yeah. And this is like a billion years, Ro. I'm not kidding. This thing has been going on for a billion bloody years. It's about bloody time.
That's why I when I get optimistic and I'm like, oh, you know, finally. And then I'm like, well, actually, this operation could be another couple million years to mop up. I mean, I'm going to have to reincarnate a few times, really see the whole thing. It's not like it's going to be done in a week.
No, but well, you know, you see, basically, what it appears to be is that the Dracos have pissed off a lot of people. And not just on our dimension, but on other dimensions. And not just in our universe, but in other universes. And, you know, not just in our universes, but megaverses. And they're all coming.
Is it safe to say, JP, the Dracos are the Democrats of the alien world?
I don't know what Democrats and... I was just going to say Democrats and prostitutes. They're all whores. They're all whores, right? It's not, you know, just like, come on. But yeah, their behavior. All right. So just talk about reptilian behavior. Their reptilian behavior is greedy. It's fearful. It's survival based. It's, heavily sexual. It's, very reflex intense. Yeah. It's reaction response, you know, that sort of stuff. And it's all PTSD, you know. So from what I've understand is that the Dracos themselves, who invaded Lyra at the first place, they had a PTSD, right? They have a trauma to them, and their trauma, get this, their trauma was exactly the Teenage Ninja Turtle trauma. They were a laboratory experiment. This is what this is all about. They were a laboratory experiment who were flushed away. And really, their creators didn't care about them at all. So what the reptilians have done is created a mythos around their creation that is so special. But it's really like one of these bravado things, and it's not true.
Well,
that's because of a PTSD that they've got of being abandoned and exposed. And that's what they do to everybody. Sorry, go on.
Yes, I've heard that the Dracos, they were abandoned, in the Draco section of space, that they don't even know who put them there kind of thing, that, you know, they've got mysteries about their own origins. And that they were abandoned not only in Draco, but from another dimension. That they were put here in this space, and they're not even native to this, you know, realm that we exist in.
That's right.
Whether it's through a wormhole or a dimensional gate, And it's interesting to think that something as powerful, and you know, they are powerful with the abilities that they have, these Dracos, were nothing but a discarded, failed experiment. I mean, think about that. And so whatever it was that was experimenting with these Dracos, what do you want to call it, a god or something, I wonder if it has even any inkling that the humans even exist.
They're a bunch of like 3 foot tall, gray like beings. You know, it's all Wizard of Oz. The whole Wizard of Oz. You know, it's like, oh, great creator.
No, it's great about that.
You know. Right, hang on. Here's a message from our great creator.
Is that the cousin of Sydney Bean?
That's Eric the alien. He's a creator.
Yeah. Eric the alien. Yes. I think he's related to Sydney Bean myself.
Sydney Bean. Hello. Do you mean Mr. Bean?
Who's no? You know the Santa's head elf.
Oh.
Sydney Bean.
Oh, I don't know.
He comes on Revolution Radio around Christmas time.
Oh, does he? All right. Maybe we ought to have a pitch shift off.
Hawk knows who Sidney Bean is.
Oh, he's one of Hawk's characters. I see. Right. I see. So anyway, yeah, this character, Eric, has been, developed over the last few years, few months. You know, he's like, he pops into shows whenever things are getting boring and, has a little bit to say. And people asking questions like, you know, so there's a lore around Eric and what his people, because people ask me like, well, you know, are there females on his planet? I said, no, we're all like, we bud. We don't reproduce. I was just coming up with this crap off the top of my head, but it's created this kind of folklore about Eric and his planet, because they're a collective being. So they're all Eric, you know, so you're talking another, you know, another, member of the race, and they, you know, they're all Eric hive mind, you know. So
now, have you, by the way, have you heard of my guest that's coming on Thursday night, Keith Andrews?
I have not. I've heard of Colin Andrews, and I've heard of Keith Roberts. Okay.
Well, yeah, if you, I don't know, if you're up, which you seem to be a lot, I don't know, and you want to, you know, pose a couple of questions, because I think you'd have, you would be a good fit also.
I have a listen in. I'm, you know, Thursday is a very busy day for me, and, by the time I've finished, Strange Universe at, 5 Pacific, that's, you know, that I've been on since I'm on 11 Pacific.
Oh, that's right. Cause if it's at 5 Pacific, mm-hmm. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, well, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. That'll be my third, Strange Universe is my third 2 hour show in a row, back to back.
So 11 Pacific is 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in the morning for you.
No, 7 in the evening for me.
No, in the morning, 11 p.m.
11 a.m.
No, 11 p.m.
Yeah.
Pacific time.
Oh, when your show is on. Oh, yeah. So, of course, because I'm thinking it's in the same slot as your show is normally. Right. Well, what's going to happen in that slot? What are you going to do then? You're just going to randomly talk about stuff.
Oh, you mean at 11 p.m.?
Yeah. No, 5 Pacific when your show normally is.
Oh, that I may actually have John Draper on. So hopefully I'll have Captain Crunch. Yeah. If not, then yeah, I will, just randomly ramble.
Hang on. How about this? Captain Crunch.
Crunch. Yes. He got that by getting the 2600, it's a whistle, Captain Crunch whistle, out of the Captain Crunch cereal. And he found out that if you manipulate the holes just a little bit, it'll blow 2600 hertz, which is enough to knock to seize a trunk on the telephone system, and using the proper tones, you can do all sorts of things, from making conferences to, you basically become an operator and do all kinds of interesting things.
Holy hack, Captain.
Yeah. So he was into that, and then they made the blue box, and that kind of started the whole freaking hacking stuff in the Bay Area back in the late 70s, early 80s. You know, I mean, yeah. I've been on the internet when it was DARPANET, ARPANET back in, it was like the MILNET experimental network back in 80 something.
Yeah. It was, Janet from my perspective, because you're in the military industrial complex. I was in the university complex.
Yes. And you could tell that in through the universities as well.
Yeah.
So that was, I remember we used to go in through, Delft a lot, TU Delft.
Oh, yes. You know, you hear all these words. You know, if I were to say to you, you're old enough to, if I were to say to you the word Hilversum.
Oh.
Would you know where that word came from?
Well, there is a Hilversum out here in California.
Yeah. Well, it's a radio station that is, printed on the dial of an old fashioned radio. You know, the big old fashioned Bakelite radios with valves and shit on them? There's all these different stations of, Hilversum. I can't remember any of them. But I think they even had Radio Caroline at one point. But anyway, no, they couldn't have possibly. That was a pirate. But all the official radio stations they had, and their frequencies were written on the back of the dial. So you get all these words like, you know, from DARPA and Janet and all these words that mean something to you, but mean nothing to anybody else who's like not a nerd.
Yeah, that's true.
God, I know. It's like being rare. But you know, remember in the days, you know, what do you do? Oh, I write computer programs. Oh, look, there's a friend I know. Or even worse. Oh, look, there's somebody I don't even know. Let me go and talk to them. So, yeah. But nowadays people go, ooh, I've got this Windows problem.
Yeah.
That's what they say these days.
I remember where like when it was, when if you were to meet somebody like as a date or something, you're looking for a date on the internet, that was like, wow, you know, you're a loser, you're gonna get a nerd, you know, or somebody, it's just all, hey, you guys are blah. And now, since everybody's on the internet, sometime between then and now, it's become like okay and socially acceptable to meet somebody online. Before, it used to be, what, you're meeting a stranger online? Oh my god, you don't know what you're gonna get. Which is still kind of that way, but it's actually become socially okay.
Yeah, well, now, the next step very soon is, you met him in the street? You met him in real life?
In real life?
You touched him?
IRL? Oh my god. OMG, IRL. Everybody's gonna start speaking in acronyms to be like, AXTB. SDRC. KKL. Okay, TTL.
See, the thing is, I believe that English is already that.
Believe, JP, that the English language, I was thinking about this today.
You've been thinking a lot today, haven't you? You've been so philosophical, Mr. Rowe.
Well, the English language is a younger language in comparison to many of the other languages, right? So, I think that we find a lot of interesting coincidences as far as spelling and what words mean, you know, like the river bank and the current, or the bank that keeps your currency, you know, and the flow, but these kind of things that what's his name, Jordan Maxwell's kind of pointed out, and a lot of other people in the legal terms, that these spells have certain double meanings and triple, quadruple entendres and things. And I think that was totally done on purpose by probably a group of master sorcerers and manipulators, that they decided they would create a trade language that contained a secret language within it, that would be the new global language. But it would also be, at the same time, it would have a hidden aspect of it.
And it's encoded, yes.
Yes, and that's what they've done with the spelling, the spells, and the manipulation of how words and sounds are treated and used in the English language specifically. That they took bits and pieces from Latin and all these other, and over time perfected this new language that we all speak. And that's why we have so many hidden meanings. That's why it is the language of trade.
Okay, so here comes Thomas to ruin our a language completely.
Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Tom, how you doing, bud?
I just woke up from a nap, and JP is what I woke up to. How do you like that?
Well, there you go. I was just blethering away on Revolution A, and now I'm blethering to ye on Revolution B.
Well, since we're on the radio, what exactly are we talking about?
We were talking about what's going on. We were just talking about something really interesting.
Oh, I was rambling about the language, the English.
Oh yeah, we're talking about English language as an encoding. So not only is there an encoding in tonality, right? You know, so if you could read something and it would be a series of words, but if I read with certain emphasis, it would have a different meaning. So there's nuance, right? Then not only that, then there's syllables, and then there's letters. And there's a very large gap between syllables and letters, because each letter is a word in itself. And so every word that we have is what we call an acronym already. It's like NASA is an acronym, right?
Yes.
And it stands for Nazis Are Still Active, if you didn't know.
Never a straight answer, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Never a straight answer, John.
That's, yeah. But, but the truth is Nazis are still active. And the, but it's a word that we use. We say it. We pronounce NASA, NASA, NASA. So what I'm proposing is that all English words are that form, that they're crunched together, like you say, different words, different concepts. And then you have the pronunciation, which is the syllable form of the spelling. So there's the written form of the spelling, and then there's syllabic pronunciation form of the spelling. And you know, like in Harry Potter, when he's, she's trying to get him to say Wingardium Leviosa right. You know?
Well, yes.
It's all about the tonality of the form, of the sound, of the pronunciation, of the encoded letters that creates the right spell. Comments, right. Gentlemen.
And this is where spelling comes in, and it shows you that Phoenician magic is not gone, it's very much alive. For instance, I'll cite the example of in the 90s when they started selling the cassette tapes over here at the time, or CDs hooked on phonics. That's Phoenician magic. But I'll give you a word that is a three-word sentence. It's two words and a letter combined to make a sentence. But they have managed to sandwich it into one word. And I'm going to say this word, and let's see if you guys can figure out what it is, what sentence it is. The word is pharmacy.
Farm.
A. C.
Sea farm.
Farm and ocean? Are they fishermen? Yeah. Farm and ocean? Pharmacy? Farm A. C. Wow. That's magic right there, isn't it? Because everybody goes to the pharmacy to do what? To get their bait? Or I'm sorry, their medicine. The pharmacy is the bait shop. I'm sorry, I can't resist. Go ahead. Your turn.
I'm going to actually go into my bait shop. I've got to fill my stomach with some food before I go on in about an hour on another round table. So
sure.
I'm going to jump off, JP and Thomas.
Thanks very much, Ro. It's good to chat. Right. Team Strange has to keep it together. And enjoy your show. Just give a quick announce for the shows you want to promote.
Yeah, real quick, just to reiterate it, is on Thursday at 11 p.m. Pacific. I've got Keith Andrews on Studio A. That's 11 p.m. Pacific time after ground control with Major Tom. We're going to talk about secret space program, alien races, that kind of stuff. And I'm hopefully also on Thursday on my show at 5 Pacific, I'm hoping to have John Draper, Captain Crunch, the phone freak, back. So we will play it by ear, and we'll go for it. So everybody have a great week, and I'll talk to you later. I'll be on in about an hour with a mad painter on Studio A.
On multi-frequency tones, Mr. Rowe. All right, okay. See you later, mate.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye now. So, yes, so here we are, multi-frequencies, and you know, some people can whistle the actually dial a telephone call by whistling two notes at the same time.
Yes.
Anyway,
what I find fascinating is the children that speak a different language that Mary Rodwell has been finding and interviewing, and I speak some of those languages that the children talk about. I don't know exactly what I'm saying at times, but I do speak those languages, and it's rather strange.
Do you think it's Lyran language, Lyran base?
Sometimes it is. Sometimes I get the feeling I'm speaking to a mantid.
What are you going?
Language. It's not really clicking as much. There's a verbal dialect that I speak, and I get clicking in return. That's what I hear in my head. I hear clicking, but I speak in a verbal dialect. So apparently I'm speaking Lyran, and they're speaking to me in mantid. Yeah. And it just... It's really rather strange, like at times what I'm speaking, and it's almost like I'm reporting in for whatever I'm doing, because I've been doing a lot for the last, well, year or so since I started in with this nursing home routine, and everything that I've been going through here, and it's been interesting, you might say. The nurse made the mistake of waking me up, earlier, well, yesterday, she woke me up.
She's not going to do that again. Hang on.
No.
Let me see. Monster alien grunt sleepy. It might have sounded like this, people. Thomas in the morning.
Well, and she was rubbing me on the shoulder trying to wake me up, and I'm on several drugs at the same time. I'm on Prozac, I'm on Lyrica, I'm on Ventanol, Depakote. I mean, there's so many drugs that I'm on, I can't remember all the drugs that I'm on. I mean, I'm on nine different drugs.
You've got so many drugs inside you, you can't possibly remember which one those they are. That's good.
So she's rubbing me with her fingers on my right shoulder. And as I'm waking up, I think that there's a parrot using its beak to scratch me on the shoulder and is about to eat my shoulder.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there opening my mouth and biting at her hand while she's trying to wake me up. And I said, don't do that again, because I don't want to eat your finger, okay?
Sorry, I didn't have a parrot, so I just used an owl.
That scared her pretty bad when I tried to start biting her hand off.
I bet.
I don't imagine she'll be doing that again.
So she's going to slap you. Yeah, there you go. Stop that.
Yes.
I love sound effects. They bring things alive.
Yes. So what else were we talking about?
Just so, yeah, we were talking about the Hollow Earth and Billy Fay, your old mate.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I described the show where Billy Fay came to Dave's house, and when he started channeling Zora, how all the animals all gathered around him and started sort of sitting on his lap and everything. You remember that? You were there, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Today was Dave Corso's birthday, wasn't it?
So it was. So it is.
I got reminders on Skype here that it was his birthday, and I'm like, how long has he been gone now?
Two and a half years.
Yeah. And he's still coming back from the grave to haunt us all.
Oh, yes. He regularly bothers Dolly and sits in his chair. And so they did an interview the other week. Nancy and sat there asking Dave questions, and he and Dolly relayed them. And it was very interesting what he was talking about. And one of the things he was saying is that he actually quite enjoys being on the other side. He's got a lot more mobility.
Oh yes, I know he does.
Go anywhere, be anywhere he wants to be, probably any when.
Pretty much.
All right.
he kind of gets to do what he wants to over there, and occasionally the dummies here get kicked out of bounds, and if they go out of bounds, he gets to eat them. Well, no, not in a literal sense, but you know what I'm saying.
In the end, there will be only one, a quickening.
Yes, exactly. Hmm. Hey, thank you for using a Highlander reference. Kudos to you.
I saw a thing. Every time a rock star dies, Keith Richards gets a quickening.
That's right.
Oh, I love that. Nobody expected that, mate. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I wonder how cold it is outside, because the last cigarette break for this nursing home is coming up, and I'm probably going to go out there and enjoy a smoke or two, because I've only had two cigarettes today. Two whole cigarettes.
Can you believe it? But anyway, you're on lots of other drugs, so you really don't need so much nicotine.
I know.
You know, there's anything to calm down anymore.
No, I'm sitting here enjoying a electronic cigarette. That's part of why my voice is so deep. So, aside from the fact that very late in life, my testicles finally dropped.
Hang on. Let's see if I've got the right. What's this? Oh, maybe not.
was mean.
Jerry. Oh, is it like?
It's more like a couple of plum. It was more like
something. Judging from my observations, Captain, you're rapidly losing the power of decision.
That's right.
So yes, meanwhile, here at the Journeys with JP, because remember we're on the radio here and people are listening. So it was Dave's birthday today, and that's an interesting thing. He's been popping up, and it's nice to give him some love. Just send him a bit. To send a boot, and he'll receive it, you know. And if you need any help, the way that Dave could help, just ask for it. He's there. He's in service.
I think it's great that his birthday was one day after Elvis' birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Because Elvis' birthday is the day of infinity, and Dave's birthday is the day of completion. 8 and then 9.
9.
Hello.
Number 9. Number 9.
Which I find rather humorous.
Hmm.
Then I would, because I'm quite a cheeky fella.
Cheeky chappy. Exactly. So yes. Like, so where are we? It's about 3 minutes into the, towards the end of the top of the hour. You're away for your, little smirky Siggy, in a little while, and, I'll be away for the little guitar outro that and all that stuff. So Thomas Hughes, do you want to say anything to anybody?
I would just like to say to everyone, keep your thoughts on where you want to go, because like the Chinese saying says, be careful what you wish for, you might just get it.
Yep. You have to be very, very specific, and you know, make sure that the decisions that you make, the choices that you make, are ones that will affect generations in a good way for many generations, for 7 generations, they say. You know, and there's only usually 2. There's between what people tell you to believe or what you believe for yourself. What you really truly believe in your heart. And that's the one. That's the one to go for, because only your heart knows the right way to go. That's it. Nobody else's does. Nobody else can give you advice. Don't you? You can come to me and you say, shall I go there or shall I go? I can only give you what tends at the time because of the way you are. But you can change the way you are. And so, you know, somebody says, you know, will I so-and-so, will I get a new job in a month's time? I say, and it could be. You could get a job in a day's time. It depends where you are. And that's what it's all about. And sometimes people just kind of drift into where they're supposed to be at the right time. You know? So when do I get laid? When do I get paid? All at the right time. It's all good. That's all I have to say. So.
Well, thank you for bringing me on, JP.
That's all right, brother. Thomas Hughes, It says here, GTJKLMNNB. That, is that your cat walking across the keyboard to, when you set your name?
No, no, that's me telling everyone that the number one.
All right. Thanks very much, Thomas. God bless you. Good night. So yes, you are indeed welcome. The telephone number, 1-775-773-3431. That works. Mr. Rowe and I tested that earlier and it actually works. And, also if you're in the U of K, I believe it's possible that the 0141-356-4141 might even work as well. And here's that little beepy stuff and the little guitar-y thing. I'll see you in a few minutes after all of this sounds. Turn your volume down. That was quite, it died away really far too quickly. There we go. Who's what? What am I supposed to be getting out? Oregon? Yeah. So anyway, yes, do come and join me if you wish on Journeys with JP. Here we are on Revolution Radio. And Wolf Spirit Radio and Ever Beyond Radio. Hey, I finally got my websites back up. This take me bloody months. I've been so busy. I'm so busy. I just whine all the time. Look at this. Anyway, I've been so busy that I haven't been able to, put my websites back into shape. They all got hacked. So, in the last few weeks, I've been rebuilding the site and I've now got Ever Beyond Radio working again. And I'm going to start posting my usual, show notes when I have a guest arranged and, you can see stuff maybe ahead of the time or behind the time, but at least, there's a kind of link between the archive and the show and, you can see what's going on and, how to connect with the people. So that's going to be fun. One day I'd like to, you know, if anybody who's, there's Mona. Yeah. There we go. Just let me finish this, Mona. And if anybody who's, a programmer has any, like, scripting, experience, maybe you should, get in touch with me. Anyway, let's see what, oh, there she is. She's got her star hat on. You got your star hat on today, Mona?
No, I'm camouflaged.
Ah, she's camoed. Mm-hmm. You camoing. Is that the state of things? You're camoing. It's sandbags. It's machine gun nests, sandbags, the big steel doors have been locked, and the big wheels have been turned to lock them out, yeah?
No.
No? What's up?
Well, I love the wordplay and the idea and that you were just talking about programming, because each individual has no clue upon the remnants of the power behind their verbiage. And their thoughts in that. And this is why we claim and sometimes our lives are damned instead of blessed, because our verbiage has acquired the momentum to become so. And it's not always easy, but I'm even still working through words because we've been so trained through it's a simple I'm sorry. Well, what is that excuse? You just told yourself you're sorry, so your body's going to become full of sorrow.
Sore. And, I'm full of, you know, I'm sore. Literally, my body hurts.
Yeah, so then enjoy your pain because you keep adding to it.
Yeah, yeah, thanks. So, yeah, that's the thing. And we say, British people, us British people, we say I'm sorry all the time, especially when we're not. And although, actually, there's a thing which we call an American sorry. Do you know about this?
No.
You know, if something terrible happens to an English person, English people say, oh, you poor thing. But American people say, oh, I'm sorry. And
something they did to make it
happen. It's all my fault. You know, it's like, and on a, in some kind of high cosmic way, that may be possibly true. On the year, like, it may be.
Yeah, with the presidents we've had, sure enough.
Well, you know, yeah, you might be sorry for all sorts of things that you brought on for yourself, that affects other people. And, you know, but anyway, so that's the thing. So that's what I say about, Mona, that's what I'm saying is like, an American sorry is this it's quite displaced from the British mind. But anyway, please go on.
It makes me cringe, just like the word Christian. Okay, and I'm a Christian. Oh God, I'm turning around and going the other way.
Yeah, I like the guy, don't like the fans. It's the fan club. It's the crazy fan club. Yeah.
But why should we claim ourselves some kind of belief system and ideology? That's not who we really
yeah,
are.
Yeah, well, the worst thing about it is that, you know, there are people who believe that people who believe differently, should all be murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that's okay.
It's a very infantile way of dealing with things.
That sounds Muslim-like, don't
well,
it?
Well, no, it's infantile. You know, I don't want it. I'm going to throw it away. Cats do it. You know, cats will knock something off the wall. I don't see this. They'll knock it off the table. I don't want this, you know. So it's a really base way of dealing with things. And that's got been the problem of the wars. You know, all the wars. All wars are about this. You know, there's a problem over there. Well, let's go and kill them all. It doesn't work like that, because as
but
soon as you kill them
the
all...
But it's also the holiness of it, where we will accuse you of doing something that you didn't do, so we're going to kick your ass.
Might is yeah. right, and we have the excuse to kick your ass, yes.
Oh, well, Americans are all full of that, but not the true American people. Just the government who's in charge of other things, but they're the ones who've done all the training. I pledge allegiance to a flag. I'm like, bull crap, I am not... I mean, why would I pledge my allegiance to this piece of cloth?
Why would you... Here's the thing for you, Mona. Why would you pledge allegiance to the flag, get this, of the East India Company, which is what it is, did you know?
Oh, interesting.
The East India Company, a British London company.
The Stars and Stripes, huh?
It's the Stars and Stripes, is their flag.
Interesting.
Yeah, check it out. Anyway.
I really don't give a flying leap, personally.
Yep. I don't give a flying flag.
That's right.
You see, this is the
like
thing.
I did like naval flags, though, because they were for communication that when you couldn't be heard, you could at least see these symbols and know what's going on. Every so often, a flag is really cool.
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, it's useful if you want to keep warm one day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There you go. I used to sew patches on my jeans, and it was against the law.
No, well, the Stars and Stripes patch, the famous Stars
oh, yeah,
and Stripes
flag,
patch.
Man, how could you put that on your butt cheek and sit on it? I'm like, why not? It keeps the place warm. Then I'd be in trouble.
Apparently. Now, I used to go out with this woman who was she's from Vermont. I can't even think of a Vermontian.
I know people who escape from there during winter because it's pretty brutal.
Yeah, well, she had Canadian blood, so it kind of all worked out. But anyway, okay. She went to Woodstock. She
nice.
Told me the stories of what, you know, she saw Jimi Hendrix at Woodstock. And what she said, one of the things that nobody really spoke about is that when Hendrix did the Star Spangled Banner, he basically committed some sort of, you know, the worst crime possible, because the flag is sacred, isn't it? And
it's a beautiful song. I don't care what he did; it was righteous and mild.
He did a good version, but but essentially, after his performance of it, there was no clapping. There was stunned, shocked silence, because it's like he just like. to the audience of that day, who was really kind of trying to be free about the
they
whole thing.
They were all too stoned to see it was just an oxymoron.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
But he actually, he played the words of the song in the song of his guitar. You know, cause there's mm-hmm. a thing about, bombs and guns and things like that.
Oh,
and he's going, you know,
uh-huh.
he's actually playing them out.
Bursting in air. Oh, it's so disgusting.
And isn't there a thing about,
It is. I don't like it.
Isn't there a thing about killing the English in it as well? You know, I don't know.
Oh, I'm not,
but anyway,
gonna go there.
Anyway, let's not even, cause it's precious. It's still, you know, it's like as precious to some people as the Quran is to a Muslim. As, you know, as a relic, as the Shroud of Turin is to a Christian, you know?
Nobody gets to just that this is old information because all the good stuff was in Alexandria that got burnt down and probably intentionally.
You still sad about that?
Oh, it takes me right off.
I know. Just get over it. Come on. We can find another one.
I'm really trying, but there's a backup. Some of those books were really, really good.
I know, but there's a backup and, you know, nothing's ever lost, you know.
Well, that's true. But
if you need it, you can get it.
Pardon?
If you need it, you can get it.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, yeah, I've had some downloads that really I had to sit down for. It was something else.
So, have you been getting wobbly recently? Like dizzy more than normal? Have you had any feelings that you've had that you've never felt before? Because I certainly am. Even in the last few days, even the last couple of days.
I got a gift.
You got a present. I like getting stuff.
From Wall.
Oh, even better. Stuff from Wall.
White shungite, okay?
White shungite. White.
He makes these pendants.
Oh, white shungite.
Yeah, it's got the silver saturated. It's really cool.
Uh-huh.
And I just feel much more stronger. And it isn't in the idea that I have more strength because I still can't open the pickle jar.
Do you know how to open the pickle jar? All right, right.
But just the strength of where maybe my heart needed more protection because I've always had an open heart and that it's time not to have such a thing because everybody's going to gather their own karma. This is the time of us revealing ourselves to us, and we can't blame anybody else and we can't claim that anybody else has to take it away. It's all within our fracture that we have to see it. And so... Yeah. I passed right out in the goose thing. I don't even know how long. It was like so quick, but that was months ago and I've had this happen to me for years.
Mm-hmm.
When so much energy is coming through that I physically have to lay down because otherwise it feels like I'm popping out of my body.
So oh yeah. Laying down often. And sometimes not for very long. Sometimes you think, oh, my God, I need to lay down and sleep forever. But, you know, you get up 5 minutes later. You just needed to be horizontal for just a small amount of time and breathe and
exactly.
Just allow the allow the current to flow through you.
I love you, Mona, in earth as in heaven, you know. But I did DMT one the time. And that's exactly what that did to me, too. It was like one complete black, okay, you got to lay down. And then all of a sudden postage stamps went before my eyes. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. I mean, I thought we were supposed to get a little more dimensional here. And
Well, what's the meaning of a postage stamp?
Well, there was a whole bunch of mailings after that. This mm-hmm. Christmas holiday, I wish I could have mailed out of country, but I couldn't because people got a whole lot of good goodies. But there was a lot of commerce. And I knew this guy. Oh,
so, now, listen, Mona. You want to, you know, you can get some, you do work over the mail. So, postage stamps is actually, that's like a, I'd say that was a good omen for you personally as a personal synchronicity.
Oh, you know, I don't see why not.
I see, you know, that's, why not? You know, just be positive about it. You know, that's a good news, you know. All right,
but
so anyway.
I mean, poor Karen had to finish baking my cookies for me.
Poor Karen.
Down.
She had to bake the cookies. Oh, really? I'm sure she never had any as a present.
Well, she has a interesting time eating my goodies because it lingers with her.
Oh, by the way.
It doesn't affect me like it affects others.
My Nung site is back up. So thenung.com and thenung.com.
I have healthy Nung.
You have healthy Nung.
I do. I mean, ask Nancy, yes. Stephanie, oh, even ask Walt how they appreciated their sweets.
Oh, did you? Oh, that'd be nice. Anyway, so next time you send the bag over, cookies would be always very by the way, anybody anywhere who wants to send me biscuits or sweets or just something nice, you know?
Gosh, I think
not?
I spent $300 in shipping just with these things.
Did you? You didn't, so you haven't got your tax per Q. You get your stamp and your fingerprint and, you know, maybe not somebody else's fingerprint.
You know, I'm not going to go the Sean David Morton thing.
It works.
I'm off the grid the best I can and I want to stay that way. Uh-huh. I even put a fake return address.
Very good. So nobody, so let's hope nobody sends it to that fake address. Sends a, you know, here's a bag of goodies in return. You better check with people.
Well, the lady at the corner store was so happy because she got a Christmas bag.
Oh. There we go. Hey, have you ever had a shot of one of these copper headbands?
I think Karen has one that's in a pyramid shape.
Pyramid?
Yeah, I'll have to get a picture of it. I'm not seeing it. And it is the copper tubing, like you were saying. And
all right, this headband is not copper tubing. No, it's copper microphone. Yeah, I'll put it on. Watch this.
You sure it's not tubing? Is it flat?
No, it's copper.
Oh, okay, so it's a band.
Copper sheet. Okay. Yeah, it's a copper sheet that is corrugated. Tubing. All right.
That's kind of cool.
This is beautiful. Hang on, let me just bring the camera closer.
Has it helped?
I feel a lot better now. Yeah, can you see this?
It is really cool looking, isn't it?
So there's
Miss Liberty.
She's
got a phallic in front of her. Oh,
well, that's a crystal. And just on top of that little dark one, that's a tiny piece of shungite elite. So just to top it off with a bit of
why do you call it elite?
Because shungite elite is different from raw shungite. It's got a different balance of fullerene. This has got the black shungite has a rough texture, and this is like glass. It's really weird.
It's more polished.
It's like an obsidian kind of thing, but it's very, very brittle. In fact, if you scratch it, it shatters.
Oh no.
It shatters into a cloud. Right? Ooh. If you were to scratch it, you see a little black cloud, and it just goes whoop, just like that.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so that's Shungite Elite, and it's, hang on, let's see if I've got pieces. I've got pieces of all sorts of stuff here. What's that? See, this is regular Shungite. Oops, no, I'll turn it off.
Well, I know what regular Shungite is.
Yeah, just so you can see the difference in the textures. Right, uh-huh. Oops. All right, so there's regular Shungite. Now I have to deliver. Now I have to deliver. I'll find a piece of Elite. Oh, is that Elite? Nope, that's not Elite. Oh, buggity, buggity, buggity.
I never knew there was different grades.
Oh yes. Now Nancy and Walt don't generally deal. Ah, here's a piece. Yeah, there we go. There's Elite. It's a bit dusty, but you can see it's. I turn the camera off again. Right. Can you see now? Can you see how shiny it is?
Oh my gosh!
It's shiny like glass.
Like, Cherokee tears. That's really pretty.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And
the metal is everywhere, you're saying.
It's not metal.
Fullerenes are holding it together.
This is more fullerene. This is like 90% fullerene or something like that.
Oh,
and
that is so cool.
So it's got a different molecular structure and molecular content than the other one. And it's a kind of more high frequency because the fullerenes are more compressed together. You know?
It's picking up a golden hue with it when you were turning it.
Yeah.
Not just a white one. Yeah, there's was a golden hue to it. That's really cool.
Yeah, well, I've got all sorts of different screens that it's reflecting from. So, but anyway, there's a nice.
It.
But that's nice, isn't it? That's not one. That's from that screen over there. That's from the Wolfsburg chat room. It's reflecting the color of the Wolfsburg chat room.
Oh, howl at them for me.
Quick howl out. There you go. Quick howl out for the Wolf Spirit people there from Mona. So Elite Shungite. You know, it's a funny way of putting it, but they call it Elite Shungite, or Shungite Elite, or Noble Shungite, or something like that. But it's a more concentrated form, and like I say, it's a little more intense. You know, it really is very laser point focusy, and that's what. That's what I put it there for. So, here on the,
that's interesting.
Okay. So here, and what we've got is a capacitor. We've got a metal plate.
Right.
A metal plate of a different metal. So that's a battery. Yeah. And then we have a quartz crystal, which is under,
magnifier.
Which is under pressure. Okay. When a quartz crystal is under pressure, it vibrates. You see? If you squeeze a crystal, that's why my pendants have a magnets either side of a crystal, and they squeeze the crystal together, and they cause it to vibrate on a very subtle level, but you can pick it up. And that activates the crystal. That makes it do its work. So any pressure, any time you've got crystals and you can, you apply pressure by twisting wire onto them. That's what, you know, you see, you know, when you twist a crystal into wire and you're putting it under pressure. Yeah.
Oh, I call it love because I twist it in love.
here's a thing made by my love and, it's, That sort of thing. It's very cool. It's like a sort
cute. Where's the mermaid that goes with it?
Oh, she's...
Need a seahorse over there.
She's got a seahorse blanket, a mermaid blanket. You know when you have a blanket to, watch TV with?
Right.
I got her this thing and it's the tail. It's a knitted tail.
Well, you put your legs in. It's just lovely. Fibonacci spiral, the show.
It's got, you know, fins like a tail. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Anyhow,
so you got a new squeeze, huh?
Yeah, we can't talk about it though.
That's okay. I didn't hear a thing.
Nothing. not but just between you and me, right, Mona?
That's it.
Don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone.
I know, right? But congrats. I mean, we all deserve hugs.
Yes, we do. We do. We all need hugs.
I got an old friend to come and give me a hug today. It was very nice.
Do you know, yesterday I was producing a show, these lovely ladies, from New York and Brooklyn. And, you know, I was doing the thing and just doing the phone calls and just bringing the phone calls in and stuff like that. And, halfway through the show, one of the guests said, "Oh, is he single?" Oh man.
Well, we should all stay single even if we're in a partnership with somebody, because that's where we lose ourselves if we think we have to partner with somebody.
I really don't like coupledom. It's horrible.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's very what's the word? Compromising. You know, everything you do is like, "Oh, I hate doing this." Yeah, well, I hate it too.
Why
do we do it?
Because somebody else is there. It doesn't make sense to me. But even I do it with Karen, and Karen will with me. But it's out of respect. It's not out of have to. You know what I mean? Because we share the same house. So we get along really famously because we're not against anything. You know, there's no, I have to have a power play here. Thank goodness.
Yeah. It's good. It's good. And, you know.
It is. And it doesn't have to be anything, you know, physical.
But as you see, as we're processing all of this stuff, you know, we find ourselves triggered and we work out, you know, we've got our methods of working through our reconnecting parts of ourselves and healing ourselves to do that. And as we progress, you know, we look back and, you know, you might listen to a show from like a couple of years ago and you think, "Wow, look how I've progressed. Look how I've got so much more confidence. Look how much I've learned by speaking to these amazing people." That's what I'm really proud of, is that I've spoken to the authors of books that I've read and I've enjoyed. And it's so wonderful to be able to just call them up and say, "Look, I got a, you know, I read this book and I came across this book by accident. I read it and I loved it. And would you like to come on my show?"
That's how I got Peter Moon on.
There you go.
But
well,
then
Peter
I've
Moon.
I've had
yeah.
Peter Kling and yeah. a lot of different authors. I like my musician people who come on too. Ed Roman. Oh my gosh. Had quite a few. Had a comic strip cartoon person on today who said he was part of the M. Gunshots and saw what's his name in the hallway at the library when Kennedy was shot. I mean, it was an interesting show today.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of that actually, Mona. What I was wondering about this guy, you say he does comic strips. A lot of those superheroes from the comic strips were actually like, you know how Star Trek was like real because it was talking about the Nazi secret space program? That these other MK projects created these hybrid people with superpowers. And, these are actual documents, you know, then, you know, the cartoons, whether they arrived to him by memory or by telepathic inference or influence.
Right.
Or somebody told him stuff, or he experienced it himself. What was your take on that? Did you get any of that?
My take was he was as valid as what his belief was, but if he ever said that, because I brought up Douglas Dietrich, because he brought up the other guy who's the supposedly hippie Satanist. Oh, God, what's his name? Anyway.
Aquino.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And Douglas.
Remember, he says he's the alpha and the omega with the queen in between.
Oh my, I don't listen to any of that stuff. But anyway.
Yeah.
I get a drift of who they are.
Steve had him on Sean's show one day.
Oh, I know, right? Oh gosh.
That kicked up a shit, didn't it?
The whole station was freaking. Oh my God. Like, what? This guy?
Damn. Yeah, there's the whole kind of, oh no, you know, it's gonna be a whole. And he's going to sound evil. And he sounded just kind of like, you know, typical da 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 da. Yeah.
Because well, that's the public front. Cases. Yeah, what, come
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're completely divided people.
And I can't say that it isn't possible, okay?
Yeah. I mean, they're all divided people. And, you know, he might have a public face, which is quite pleasant, as a lot of them do. And they are not like that. Anyhow.
But it was an interesting, yeah, kind of conversation. And. Mm. He just didn't get me. He was more into listening to the story than what I was saying. And he kept telling me I was wrong and I accused him of being a certain way. And I'm like, oh, no, man, I ain't doing that kind of stuff. Why would I do that? I don't pick fights with people, you know what I mean? So sometimes people just get so off on themselves that they don't even listen to the conversation. And that's it.
Listening is part of the conversation. It's the most important part of the conversation, in my humble.
Well, but you did say something about earlier about the comprehension of words, because he did get the thing about the understanding, and I'm not one to stand under anything, and I don't apologize for anything that I say or do. This is who I am, take it or leave it. And so there are words and power plays, and supposedly he was drugged by this guy who basically him and his mother, and I mean, I could see that happening. I've had John Storm on. He was a super soldier done and growing up through the sadistic, sadistic, and manipulative, you know, military complex stuff. And then look at Jay Parker. I've had him on my show. And he's really had a lot going on with him. So I cannot deny that it would be factual. I mean...
Well, yeah. I mean, because... you know, and we, again, I've been talking about Dave Corso today, and he is described on his first, you know, first-hand principles, what his experience was.
And did you hear the one that Dolly did with him?
Just recently, yes.
Nancy? Oh, I started crying before it even showed up, because I remember Dave in his days of the last days of his throes of what he was going through. And he really is a character. Mm. And then that day, Nancy just got a whole grove of trees for me, copper ones that I twisted for. And
oh, I see. Not a whole grove of little trees.
So the little synchronicities were going on because Dave said through Dolly that we are a tree. And so it's just amazing how these little things are really etherically showing up here in this third dimension. Because we can allow it.
Yeah. Here's a nice little analogy is that, yeah, we all appear to be trees separate all above ground, but underground all the roots are connected. Isn't that lovely?
Oh, I'll do anything for a tree. I was going to chain myself to a tree and while they were bringing in the saws and the backhoes of 100 acres, but instead the cops came and just trespass warnings and... We tried to get it on TV, and the TV didn't care. And so I've always fought for Earth because she is my home. And I think if we can respect her, she can give us a better existence than what we've been allowing to occur.
Yeah, well, it's that industrial-level hunger to eat the planet that we need to bring to a halt. Because, you know, that's the reptilian... You know, it's just like a strip mining thing. You know, they've taken all the really big things. Hey, You know, I know there's a flat earth thing, right? Which is obviously crap, right? But there's this other thing about the trees and those great big mountains.
I love that story.
The idea of great big silicon trees. Mm-hmm. That the trees are actually silicon. And the, you know, they had these massive, you know, whatever it is material chainsaws that would bring them down. And they strip mined the planet a long time ago. And like trees like Yggdrasil and all these, legendary trees, just like in Avatar, we have a racial memory for those trees, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mile high trees.
I cannot not believe that, because I've had so many visions and dreams of giants and things of those natures, plus the little people, that I cannot say that hasn't occurred. Look at the skulls they found. We can't deny it.
We're not the normal size, actually. I believe that we're not the normal size for this galaxy. Is that we're actually condensed?
At least in the beginning.
We're actually condensed, you know. The normal size of this galaxy is like 10, 15 feet tall. Like that's what normal size beings are. And we're tiny. And that's why they like us. Cause we're kind of cute. You know, this thing is even in the Bible. They're like, oh, I mean, imagine you're like a toy poodle. You see a baby rhinoceros. You see a baby anything. It's right. So cute, right? Really cute. So, you know when the thing, that they say the Nephilim, they saw the women, they saw that they were good. Imagine, you know, you're 15 feet tall and you see this tiny little human. It's like, oh, it's like a little cake, you know?
Remember Gulliver's Travels?
Yeah. Giants everywhere. You know, all over the centuries, we've been taking them out. Aren't any left. They've all run away. But this planet is very dense and it brings everything down. That's why everything comes down to this low down level.
Well, but I heard this one video which really got my curiosity going. And basically the guy was saying that everything in physics and medicine and everything has all been lied. And anybody who says they have a PhD and should be proud about it is living a lie. And for what he has gone through and noticed and had to work at through the government realms and back doors, they've actually found a way to bring the sixth dimension to this dimension. And so that's why a lot of people have not had the ability to be left alone. Does that make sense?
Keep going.
Because one thing, huh?
Keep going.
Well,
they've not had the ability to be...
To you.
Send what to me?
Send the video to you so then you can hear it and then you can make up your mind on how you feel about it. But it does make sense to me because when I was a kid, I had deja vus all the time. I saw the vortexes. I knew what the parallel dimensional realms were because I'd walked through them. Okay, this was well before I was tripping to a degree. Anyway, it was never during an induced psychedelic experience. This was in my moments at those times. And I could have thought I was crazy. And maybe I did for a while, but it all worked out. I'm just not seeing to feel that it's happening still and that the young ones don't get that either. Because we've had so many walls and barriers by our not believing that it's made it more conducive for the etherical other dimensions from the sixth down to the third to have more influence than what it's supposed to be there.
So what do you mean, who's the sixth dimensionals?
I really can't give you that. Maybe we should ask Simon Parks. Mm. He would know which are the sixth dimensionals.
Well,
but I'd have to think there of any...
Yeah, where does this intel come from, though?
I'm going to find the video for you.
Oh.
Otherwise, I'm
going to watch a video?
It off my
Yeah,
hands.
That's what it's about. You're a show host. You should be able to condense what people say.
Well, I tried.
Shouldn't you?
Because of my history.
Yeah.
There's many of the... I mean,
nuggetize
they just,
the gist of what they're saying. You know, to me, everybody I have on the show is, including you, has a piece of this grand puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And the grand puzzle... is like, we don't even know what's on the box. We don't even know, we don't realize that what's on the box is you. That's what the grand puzzle is. The grand puzzle is, who am I? And it turns out to be a lot more...
Depends on what moment it is, doesn't it?
Well, yes, but the bigger the moment, the more your perspective pans out to the galactic perspective and the universal perspective and the megaversal perspective, and see that, see where everything is placed, and see what you can see really what's then important. There's no worries anymore.
I think what I've learned that's important is just unconditional love no matter what happens. Because I'm not in control of the environment. It does what it needs to do by how I ask for it. So I try to walk very lightly. If that makes any sense.
Stomping through the universe. Well, we have to...
No, thanks.
Well, this is the thing. You know, this is the lesson that we're here on Earth to take is, you know, we experience powerlessness... And then we maybe experience clawing our way to power. And what power means, you know, I'm not talking about, oh, like Trump, you know, being a huge corporation president and being another huge corporation president. But to be, to exercise your power is essentially to be able to do what you do. To be able to do what you love to do. That's pure power. There's no other thing that, you know... That is more powerful than expressing the expression of your own soul. You know, what you're here for. You've got your own, things that you're interested in. You know, predilections, can't remember the name of the word. Anyway, preferences. You know, everybody's got their own preferences, and those preferences, they are who you are. They're your character, you see? And eventually you find out that that character is a universal archetypal character. And, you know, that's like a god, or like, you know, I'm behaving like Apollo, or I'm behaving like Odin, or, you know, all this stuff. And you realize that those are qualities of a spiritual essence that the universe is made of. And we're talking about, you know, everything's frequency, and those spiritual essences are intelligent, and those spiritual essences have names that we use as what we call gods.
Yeah, Nike.
Exactly. Everything is the name of a god.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Even your country, America.
Say that again?
A Mary car.
Well, what's the CA
and
mean?
Maryland. Car?
Disney.
What's a car?
Yeah.
A car bar. Where's your car bar art? What's, all right, so car bar. Car bar is the word cube. Kerber. Yeah? You get it? Cube.
I'm only an English American. You start talking foreign languages like that to me, my mind goes blank.
Well, it's where the word comes from.
Well, I get that, but I'm just not there.
Yeah, well, do you know about Sanskrit? Have you heard of the language called Sanskrit?
Yes, I have.
That's the, like, the original language of, yes. Like, before the Sumerians arrived. Mm-hmm. You could maybe say it's a little more Lumerian or something like that. You know, more ancient like that. I wish I could read that stuff. Just doesn't, you know, I learned to read Hebrew when I was a kid, but like Sanskrit, cute. Just looks like, that looks like a line with all these squiggles coming off the bottom of it. And I just can't, I see it nothing as a series of hooks. That's all I can see when I look at Sanskrit. So, yeah, there's all those hooks there. There's that squiggly hook. Anyhow.
Yeah, that is interesting. See, but I couldn't even do algebra.
It's, again, algebra is the understanding of abstract thought. It's the difference between the Ray 3 mind.
I just can't do algebra.
Well, it's the difference between the thing and the placeholder for the thing. You know?
Well, that's interesting. Or what's holding the placeholder and the thing?
That's the equation. And it's the balance that holds it in there.
Right.
We love the equation. Where everything is equal. You know, this is equal to that. We love the equation. It's all in balance that we love the equation. everything
actually,
in balance.
Yeah, pie.
We do like a nice pie, yes, and we also like a nice phi. Have you heard of the phi ratio?
No, but is it a five?
Phi, P-H-I.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's 1.618 is the phi ratio, and it's the Nautilus shell ratio, you know, the Fibonacci.
Isn't that also the speed of light?
The speed of light is 432 squared. 186,000, yeah, is 432 squared. 432. There it is again. I'm a fan of Pythagoras, you see. And Pythagoras was very much into 432. Do you know what I mean by 432? 432 music?
It sounds like hertz.
Yes, that's right. 432 hertz, 432 cycles a second, is the note of A. Hang on, where is it? 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 Any second now, I'll find it. It sits here all day, every day. Where is it? Come on. Oh, come on. I know you're here.
It's like having a baby cry.
Yeah.
All I could say in chat was, do you know how many lactating women are a little pissed off right now?
They all blah, 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 blah. Oh, come on. Where'd it go? Where are you? I have a tuning fork that should be within my reach. I just can't see it. Maybe I haven't got the right lights on. Anyway, 432 hertz is the sound of the note of A, yeah? And it's the sound of the heart as well.
So it's an R?
It's a... something like that.
Gee, sounded like
there
a saxophone.
Yeah, that was me. Hang on, here we go.
Now,
just breathe that in. Breathe the air that is vibrating that note. Lovely. So that's 432, and that's the sound of natural music, natural tuning. People may argue, but I'm a Pythagorean. I've been secretly a Pythagorean. You know, Putin has been secretly an Orthodox Christian.
I know.
I'm secretly a Pythagorean. Don't tell anyone. It's just you and me.
Okay. I got that.
Yeah.
And it's pi between us, or phi. Yeah.
I like a nice phi. Anyway, phi or breast. Anyway, so the 432 is a very interesting number. It's if you take 6 and you multiply it by 6, what do you get?
Oh, God, you're making me think. Oh, my God.
All right. Okay, you don't know your times table. 6 times 6 is 36.
Oh, I was right. Oh, yeah. Boy.
All right. Now, if you multiply that 6 times, yeah, to reveal 6 cubed, you get 216. I'll do the math for you. 216.
Thank you.
Okay. And just listen to the numbers here, all right? Okay, so you cube 6, it's 216. What's the numerological value of that?
Well, that'd be 9, which is 3.
Okay. 9, right? So you double that frequency, because you know when you double a frequency, you just get the octave higher, right? It's the same note, right? That's how you get it. It's a double of the frequency. So if you double 216, you get 432. Here we go again, right? So 432 is 6 times 6 times 12, or 6 times 6 times 6 times 2. Hang on a second. I feel coming on, because all these nutters who still believe in 666 being a bad thing. Anyhow.
Well, that's sad.
So anyway, so 432 is 6 times 6 times 6. So as we know, the mysteries of the 369. Okay, 432. What's the numerological value of that, Mona?
It's again 9.
Yeah. Okay. So let's divide 216 by 2. Let's divide it, you know, to find the lower octave of 216. And we get, what do we get? We get 108.
Which is a 9.
Which is a 9. All right. Half of 108 is what?
Half of 108 would probably be 54.
Correct, which is?
Another 9.
All right, half of 54. Come on, we're coming into the range of normality here. Half of 54.
Well, let's see.
Half of 50?
24.5, right?
Half of 50 is 25, right?
Right.
Half of 4 is 2. So 25 and 2 is 27. What does that add up to?
Another 9.
There you go. So.
Interesting.
Harmonically, it's perfect. Do you see why 432 is so important now?
Well, all I can remember is you stating earlier, number nine.
So
that's interesting. The Beatles. What else were they trying to tell us?
Well, there's a lot. Actually, the number nine is a code for Paul McCartney because there's 9 letters in his name. And they couldn't talk about him, but they referred to him as number 9, the original Paul McCartney. The other one they referred to as Fall, of course, as we're all aware of that. For instance, a song called Number 9 Dream, right? And, you know, he saw McCartney in a dream. That's what it's about. If you read what the song is writing, you know, he's like, he saw McCartney in a dream.
Interesting. Some out-of-body visitation.
Yeah, or you could even say, you know, saying long, long ago, was it just a dream? Was it just a dream? Was the original Beatles, as it was, you know, when it, you know, in the '60s when he was friends and everything was great and all that stuff, you know, and look at Lennon's life.
Like the Morris and, you know, the Doors kind of situation too.
What, the Jim Morrison?
The groups that were supposedly, you know, just young kids coming up into something, but they were all some kind of back psyops with something.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Orange County.
All handled, yeah. You know, they all were handled.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently, according to Sean, Jim Morrison ended up as a banker because his father ran the Navy, which runs the world. So it must be very deeply connected with the banking system. So he's somewhere in Goldman Sachs.
He's pudged out, man. Mm. Looks like the Pillsbury Doughboy. Who knows? Uh-huh. I mean, but I don't know.
Uh-huh.
That's rather interesting, because what do you think about all this stuff they've been coming out about the clones?
Bring in the clones. Of who?
Bring on the clones.
Whose clones?
These actors, like, who was it that just, the black guy, he brought it all out. Oh, why can I not think of it? It wasn't Snoop Dogg, it was somebody else.
Jay-Z.
They even had the videos, yeah, I think it was.
Well, when he did this, instead of doing a concert, he just blabbed on about the Illuminati for 20 minutes. Was that the one?
It's probable.
Is that the one? No, John saw Paul in a dream. It's a John song, you know, number 9 dream. Check it out. Anyway, so meanwhile, back at 666, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember I was talking to you about Elite Shungite?
Yes, it's very pretty.
What is the carbon? What is the molecule? It's carbon. Element. Number 6. So, again, 6 and Shungite and 432 music and the note of A and the frequency of the heart and the number 9. All have this connection, and therefore Paul McCartney. How it all connects together in the last 10 minutes of the show. Kanye! Thank you, Sharon.
Kanye West, yeah.
Kanye West. Kanye? Maybe. But maybe not. He may be freaking out somewhere in the lift. Look, 432 and 440, actually, we have a website. The delightful and wonderful Brad from Australia created a website for the 432 cause, let us say, on Wolf Spirit Radio. So if you go to wolfspiritradio.com/tune, you can see a very beautifully made site that is all about retuning the world back to the 432 standard which, as we have just harmonically, mathematically proved, is perfect and will bring us back into healing. People have used this frequency. You know, if you take a signal generator and run 432 hertz through it and then put a coil on that and you've got a broken bone, you'll feel, oh, that hurts a bit, but your bone will heal and knit really quickly, like in days instead of weeks. That's what 432 can do.
I don't doubt it. I really don't.
Hmm.
Well, they're trying to do with color healing and stuff like that, but I like the idea of the vibrations because they really do mean something. Just think of the women who could sing and break a glass.
Well, yeah, right, exactly. There. So, with regards to the color, and the 432, in fact, all the jingles that I make on Wall Street Radio are in the 432, range. The color of the website is 432 in the color spectrum.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's an interesting show.
I thought it all out. Uh-huh. You know, it's not an accident. So.
Right.
But so that's why it is. It's a universal call out of the heart.
Neat.
There you go. So that's it. And that's it. It's a form of indigo. Duh. And right. it's the ray two, which is the ray of the heart, which is the ray of love. Yeah. You put two twos together back to back, makes a heart, doesn't it? Like two swans.
Yeah, it does. Standing up, right?
Yeah. So ray two being the frequency of the heart is this indigo color, which is why in the 1960s, when the moon is in the summer, all right, the predominant color of the clothing, the jeans that everybody wore, were indigo blue.
Right.
This is the original indigo generation. That's what it is, you know. Now, it tried to be subverted. They tried to subvert it. You know, but essentially, you can't get between a hippie and his denim. And her denim, you know. In some cases, it's not worth it. Trying to.
Well, normally a hippie doesn't have many clothes on, so it wouldn't matter unless they're in a very cold spot.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, right now we still have snow on the ground. But, yeah, hippies, Woodstock.
Oh. Yeah. Anyway, the color. Indigo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about the indigo children, the indigo generation. That's the Ray 2 souls. Yeah? And now we're coming in with the Ray 7 souls, who are the crystal children. Yeah, but the Ray 2 souls were the bridge between the Ray 6 souls, which is like everybody from the last 2,000 years, all fighting and bloodthirsty and greedy and emotional and reactive and, you know, all that stuff. You know? Coming in with a bit more, with the second ray, which is, much more heart-based, more giving a bit of forgiveness, and in fact, it's the antidote to the intensity of the sixth ray, is the coolness of the second ray, you know, being cool, right?
Balanced.
Yeah, expansive, you know, instead of trying to contract. Sixth ray is all about contraction. You know, and guess what? What we're talking about all the time, contracts. Remember I was saying that the earth is a place where everything is contracted. It's all compressed.
Right, but also couldn't the earth be expanding?
The earth is expanding. That's the beauty.
So that might be part of the thing that makes it feel like it's constricting when it's actually just filling.
It depends on where you're tuned, because if you're tuned in to the matrix that has been created around this planet, as the planet expands very, very slowly, we're going to get it's like having a great big, a steel bar, a steel ring around you. It's going to get really tight. All right. So we have to evolve out of that frequency band. That's the key. That's the thing we're doing.
Reduce fears or remove them. Well, thank you, JP. It was a great hour.
Does that make sense? Thank you very much, everybody.
Oh, totally. Shun Guide, everybody, get it. Some now.
Get your elites. All right, good night, everyone.
Thank you, sweetie.